guys, I am Mikayla Dice. I just wanted to say thank you so much for joining us here on my podcast, Because You Belong Here. The purpose of this podcast is to talk about testimonies. I am a firm believer that your testimony should be someone else's prophecy. So we will be talking with some of my friends and family and people that I love about things that God has done in their lives. And I will be sharing different things about things that God has spoken to my heart and things that I've experienced through Him and His Word. And so I just wanted to tell you, grab a cup of coffee, pull up a chair, and come hang out with us as we go deep, discovering the ways that God has proven His love in tangible ways. I am so excited you're here. All right. Hey guys, I'm back finally. And I have my amazing friend Katie Chitty here with me, and we are going to have some really great conversation with you guys. Katie, you want to just kind of tell everybody a little bit about you and your family and who you are?
Yeah. So my name's Katie, Katie Chitty, and I am married to Jeremy Chitty. We are about to celebrate our 9-year anniversary next month, which sounds wild. It sounds really short, but then it sounds crazy long to us. I know compared to a lot of people, it's a shorter amount of time, but we're like, oh my gosh, 9. We've got 2 kids. I've got Jackson, who is 6, and Maddox, who is 3, going on like 17. Yes, she's spicy and amazing. Yeah, and I'm just really excited to be chatting with you today.
Yay. Awesome. Well, you have amazing children. And they are. They're fiery and fantastic.
In all the best ways. In all the best ways.
100%. So yeah. Fun. So today we're going to kind of talk about what it looks like to be, I guess, really just to be a woman with a big personality in this world.
Perfect.
Right? Like, it's so yes. Easy to feel like you're too much or not enough or all mm-hmm. of the things. So I just feel like we could kind of dive into that and talk about our experiences and kind of the way the Lord has showed up through those experiences, and what we've learned about ourselves and Him through those things.
Perfect.
So, I know both of us, well, I am currently undiagnosed, meeting with a doctor next week. We both have probably ADHD, and I feel like that contributes to a lot of that. Like, I feel like I'm too much because I can't ever contain all of the things in one space. Whether yeah. that be all of my words or all of my thoughts or all of my ideas, like, it's always just all over the place.
Always open. Always feeling like I've got 25 tabs open on my computer. Like, people like joke about, like, I have so many tabs open in my mind. And I'm like, no, you don't even really know what that's like. Like, that's like an actual real thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, all of the tabs that are open, and they say mm-hmm. like, you know, there's a tab and it's playing music somewhere and you can't figure out which one it is. And so you're mm-hmm. trying to click through all of them and figure it out and you can't.
Yes.
And it's like, yeah, that's what my brain
I'm
feels
like. All of mine are playing music or somebody's talking or there's a video or there's an error message and it's all going on at the same time. That's how I used to. I didn't know that people didn't think that way.
Same. Mm-hmm. Same. Like, I always just thought that was the normal thing to yeah. be.
And I just thought that everyone was managing it better than I was. That I was lacking because yes. I couldn't manage what everybody else was managing. And it was right. a big breath of fresh air when I realized, oh, you guys don't, that's not your daily.
Yeah. And
girlfriends were like, no, we don't. What are you talking about? And I was like, cool, nothing at all.
Right. Well, yeah. I was having a conversation with someone the other day. We paid Allison to come and help me organize my house and like purge mm-hmm. and clean. And we were talking about, like, her brain works very methodically and she has mm-hmm. a place for everything. And like, out of sight, out of mind is the way my brain works. And so I have stuff everywhere mm-hmm. that I just don't know about. And I think that it was bizarre to me talking to her. And she was so nice about it. It wasn't like she was judging me, but it was just this conversation of talking about our plates and how, as moms, like, we all have very full plates, but some plates are bigger than others. Like mm-hmm. she said, she was having a conversation with someone who said, here I am with my little saucer and here's Allison over here with her platter. And she said in that moment, she realized like different people have different capacities, but mm-hmm. the problem is we're all putting the same amount and the same things on the same space, but the size is not the same.
Yes.
And I was like mind blowing to me because I feel like my husband is always like picking up my slack and he's uh-huh. always like trying to clean up after me and do these things. And like, but it's not just with housework.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's my whole life.
Whole life.
Like
every aspect. Podcast. Yes. Every you know? Aspect.
Like, you just shove things aside and say, oh, I'll get to that. Mm-hmm. Like today I had ample opportunity to say I wasn't going to do this because I have other things that happened. And I was like, no,
mm-hmm.
I have to stop saying no to myself. Like I need to start prioritizing because things like this, I was having a whole conversation with myself this morning.
All the time.
About this whole thing. But like, how many times do we say no to ourselves because it's easy to brush it off, especially mm. whenever we have such a full plate or we have kids and we have lives and jobs and all this stuff. It's so easy to brush ourselves off. But in things like this, we're not just brushing ourselves off.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Lord has given us something that we're supposed to say.
Yes.
Like you and I both, I know we have this like fire to share things that the Lord has shared. And I think that I am trying so hard to push past that. Like saying no to me isn't just mm-hmm. saying no to me.
Yes.
In a lot of ways. Like there are a lot of ways where it's like, yeah, I can say no to myself, but this isn't one of the ones, like I'm trying to prioritize things that aren't about me.
Yes. That are about more than you. Like you're mm-hmm. included, but it's about more than just you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely. And I think what happens is it's so easy to do things for other people. It's so easy to take care of our husband and our kids. The way that I was thinking about it with myself is, well, I can disappoint myself because I can rationalize it to me. I can't disappoint my husband or my kids, or I can't provide for my husband and my kids because then I'll have to like explain myself. I'll have to, it just looks selfish if I do it for me. But if I do it for my kids, like I'm giving it away. Like if I'm right. doing something for my husband, I'm serving my husband and I'm serving my kids. But if I do it for me, it's selfish. And that was a mentality that I had to beat. Honestly, I mean, I'm still working on it because I didn't want to be selfish. I didn't want to be seen as like self-care, taking care of me and me. Right. And we're just in this crazy society where it says like to be a good wife and be a good mom and to be a good Christian wife and a good Christian mom or a good Christian human, it's you have to die to yourself and give away. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't want to run on nothing for the rest of my life. Right. And when the Lord called me to himself, he didn't say, hey, I'm going to strip you of everything. I'm going to give you these amazing blessings, but I'm going to make it hell for you. And you're going to just be crawling through life to enjoy these blessings.
Right.
And I'm like, it's such a lie that we're just told that like, we have to do it to that extent mm-hmm. or we're not doing it well enough. And I think it's right. just a load of honky that women have been fed. And we're eating it up because it looks good on the outside to everybody else to do it that way.
Right. And I think having daughters has changed my perspective on that mm-hmm. so much because I think whatever I make normal, they're going to think that's the requirement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you look back at your childhood and you think, oh, my mom was this way. Or you look at other people's families and you think, oh, their family was so great because their mom was X, Y, and Z yes. or, yes. you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I want my girls to have full lives.
Yes.
But I want them to have full lives that they're enjoying and not just treading water.
Yes. And full lives that were created for them specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Like not molding them into some girl that I've idolized, not molding them into some like mom that I've idolized or some woman, but like figuring out who they were created to be with their personalities and really like honing in on that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Which makes us, and you and I have conversations. I'm like, well, I want to be me. So that way my daughter can look at me and be like, my mom was her true self.
Right.
You know, she, and so Maddox has the freedom to be her true self. So it really is pushing me to embrace who I am.
Absolutely.
You know, the conversations we talk about honestly feeling like we're too much in a crowd, you know, or in a room.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's been my whole life. Like when I was a kid, I remember I was always the girl who everybody wanted to be friends with. Like I was always friends with everybody, but I was always, I was never part of the group. Like, and that's why I started this podcast, because I don't do well in like large groups or whatever. Not because I don't do well, I guess that's not really the word, but like, I love deep conversations and I love, I feel like I go too deep too fast. Like, I'm like, hey, here I am.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know?
Yeah, there was a meme I saw and it was like, please talk to me and like tell me your deepest, darkest secret right away and let's like unhash it and let's bury it. But for the love, like, do not make me have small talk. Like, please, I want to know your deepest, darkest secret, but I do not want to have small talk. And I was like, oh my gosh, yes. Yes, I can't.
It's like, so exhausting.
It's so exhausting. I always joke because people assume that I'm an extrovert. And I'm like, no, I'm not an extrovert. I'm actually an introvert. And like, when you look at the descriptions of extrovert and introvert, like extrovert, like my son Jackson is a true extrovert. He gets life and joy and energy from being around people. Like he, when he leaves a group, he is just like jazzed and ready for life. I'm like, yeah. I need to go take a nap. Like I can hang and I can chat, but I need to go like relax afterwards because I'm so drained from it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am definitely like true extrovert, and I like, I can come home from having a whole day with people and I can like do all of the things.
Whereas oh my gosh.
He's like, no, please don't sign me up for anything else. Don't make me go anywhere else. Like on Sunday nights for small group, I'm part of a, like a women's group and he stays home with the baby. Like I bring kids.
He's like, groups, do it. Yeah.
And he stays home.
Mm-hmm.
And he's perfectly happy with that.
Yes. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a really great balance.
Yes. I love it.
But I know like for me, because I'm that way, like I go out and like I talk to people. I'm really great at meeting people.
Mm-hmm.
And like the first time I'm like, hey, I'm Mikayla. And I just get all up in people's business and make them tell me their business and like talk to people. But then I freak out. And then like, I'm afraid to meet them a second time. Because I'm like, what if I was too much? What if I pushed too hard? What if I said too much? What if they don't think of me the same way I think of it? Like I have this whole thought train that goes
complete,
on in my head.
A complete conversation and overthinking. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because what if I was too much?
Because what I'm realizing, like in my 40s, I'm just having these revelations of all the different like decades of my life. And it's like, I am loud. I am outspoken. I've always been that way. I've always been the kid that could run up and talk to people. I've always had jobs where like I'm front and center, chit-chatting, can talk to anybody. I love public speaking. I'm like, give me a microphone in a stadium. Like I will say something on that microphone. Like I love it. But I'm just thinking about all the times where it's like, I think I've gone through seasons where like that was like a really great thing and it was positive. And Katie, it's so awesome that you're like, you have an opinion and you're not afraid to voice it. But I feel like I've also gone through seasons where it was like, Katie, that's too much. Katie, like, or it's been like used against me, you know, like sometimes it's too loud. Sometimes you're too outspoken. Sometimes you've got like too much of an opinion and really struggling with something that I was, you know, getting like complimented on and affirmed on in my personality. And then the next minute being shunned for it or having it mm-hmm. used against me. I think in my it just had my brain really not understanding who I was or being ashamed of who I was. There mm-hmm. was definitely times where I was like, oh, I'm too much. I'm being too loud in this group. If I'm in a group of women and I say something and I have an opinion and I'm feeling confident, and then I look over and I see somebody like giggling or making a face, I'm instantly insecure thinking, oh my gosh, they're talking about me, which they Absolutely. Might not be, but it's been so often trained in my brain that I am too much. And it's been said to me enough in my life that I'm like, oh, okay. And I can physically feel myself kind of like recoil and pull back and be like, okay, I need to tone it down.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that, like it comes from that people pleasing space where I want to make sure that everybody's okay with what I'm saying or what I'm doing mm-hmm. or any of the things, you know, but it's hard to find that balance.
Yes.
When we're trying to find it on our own.
Yes.
You know, I was just listening to this thing this morning and it was Bill Johnson mm-hmm. from Bethel, and somebody was asking him about his heart for longevity and how like that's his MO. Like everything mm-hmm. he does is the long game. Like he just has this incredible faith. And he said, I learned a long time ago that if I live for the praises of men, then I will die by the criticisms of men.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's exactly what we're talking about today.
Yes. It's so true. I think I've just like had to come to the realization that like the Lord didn't make me a mistake. Like he didn't make a mistake when he made me. Like he didn't make me meek and mild. Like right. that those are not two adjectives that describe Katie Chitty, you know? And I shouldn't be ashamed of that. And I think too often I hear people say like, I don't have a problem like having an opinion or like making a decision because that's just how I'm wired. Like, I'm like, okay, I have an opinion. I'm not saying that my opinion is the right answer. I'm not saying that I have all the answers. I'm not saying that I always have to be in charge or lead, but I don't have a problem stepping into those roles if they're needed.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely.
Like somebody made a joke one time, they're like, oh, Katie always has to be in charge. And I was like, no, I actually don't like being in charge. Mm-hmm. I'm perfectly fine following somebody who has a clear vision and can get things done.
Right.
Like that's, show me the way, give me the checklist, I'll do it. But if a decision needs to be made, or if somebody needs to say something, I have no problem doing that. And I think so often that gets misinterpreted as like having to be loud or having to be outspoken or having to have your opinion. So I think it's just like so much information coming into us. Like, am I too loud? Am I too much right now? Like, am I monopolizing the room? What are people like? You think you're having a great conversation and you think you're like jiving and this is energetic. And then you're like, oh, was I too much? Was that too much? Yeah.
Yeah. I was having a conversation this week with one of my friends from somewhere else. And she was talking about feeling that same way because she has some friends and they were hanging out, or they were supposed to hang out. And then they ended up like somebody had to cancel. So she went out with one of them. And then she saw a couple days later that they all went out and nobody invited her.
Mm.
And I was like, that has been my entire life. And you run through mm-hmm. that whole checklist in your head of like, what did I say? What did I do? Am I too loud? Am I too much? Am I mm-hmm. like, you know, and that's been my whole life. And I remember when I was a kid that we had this guy, his name's Sandy Culkin. He's a prophet and he would come to our church and he's amazing. And he said some things my mom shared, reminded me of later, because I think I was a teenager, but I've always struggled in that department. Mm-hmm. Like having really great friends and not being a part of the group because I'm just who I am. And he very specifically said that was because God created me that way. And that I was the one who was supposed to create groups. I was supposed mm-hmm. to be the one who drew people in and like helped other people who didn't feel like they belonged And now that I'm, 37, I can embrace that instead of just feeling like the person who's being left out.
Yes.
Yeah. You know?
That makes total sense. Because there, I think, and we were talking in our Bible study, the other week about this, like, there has to be a little bit of both in a community. There has to be the people who are saying, like, okay, I will start it. I will lead this. Let's go. And then there also has to be the people who are a little bit more reserved, who sit back, who are going to overthink or think more than the, the half second that I give something.
Same.
To where we can look to and be like, what do you think? You're sitting back, you're taking it all in. I'm just leading the charge. I'm ready to storm the castle. Okay, but let me sit back with you and talk and say, like, do you think we're storming the castle the right way? Is there another way in? Is there a way that in my charge that I overlooked? And just realizing that they're, like, he created both of those and everything in between. And that's why we have to do life in community.
Yeah.
That's why we have to pull from one another. Because I'm sure people who are much more quieter than we are, Michaela, I'm sure that they leave conversations thinking, like, I didn't say anything. Was I too quiet? Why didn't I speak up? On the flip side of it, like, that's what other women are dealing with.
Right.
And so just, like, being able to go into, like, a safe space and to be like, hey, listen, everybody's safe here. All personalities are safe here.
Right.
Like, this is safe, and you can be who the Lord created you to be. And just creating that and, like, allowing that, I think, is just what needs to happen for everybody.
Yeah. And I think that's, like, the body. The church is the body, and we all are parts of the body. And they talk about that with your gifts and your talents and your things, but personalities work the same way. Like, right, am I freezing? My thing just told me my internet was unstable.
Yeah, you're good. You're talking.
So, like, being married to somebody who is the opposite personality, who does think things through, and in my opinion, he overthinks things.
Yeah.
But it's because I'm like, hey, let's do it.
Yeah.
And I always say, like, hey, let's move forward. God can't steer a parked car, so let's just keep moving until he closes the door.
Yeah.
It's so simple.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like, yeah, but da 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 da. What if this happens? Or what if this happens? And I'm like, I don't know. I just say, let God do it.
Yeah, let's figure it out.
And if so we got to balance.
Yeah, if we got to slow the car down, let's slow the car down. But at least, Jeremy's the exact same way. And it used to frustrate me to no end, to where I'd be like, I don't even know how you actually ended up deciding to propose. Like, how did you even, like, make that decision? I'm thankful you did, but how did you make that decision? Because the man will just sit on something to what seems like eternity to me. But Lord, has that man saved us from so many bad decisions that I'm like, you're right. Thank you. Appreciate
you. Thanks for
those
breaks.
Yes. And it just makes me, just when I was thinking about what we were going to talk about, like, I want Maddox. Like, Maddox is, she's not going to be the quiet one in the crowd. We are learning. And everyone's like, she is her mother's daughter. And I'm like, okay, I want her to be confident in her personality and who God created her. So I want to figure this out, because I don't want Maddox walking through the times of questioning herself and questioning her personality and questioning her thought processes, because I didn't figure out ahead of time.
Right.
And learning how I'm slowly learning that having an opinion, I don't have to state it all the time. I don't always have to be the loudest one in the room all the time. So it's like, being refined now is going to be able, is allowing me to teach my daughter, so she has less refining to do.
Oh, that's good.
Hopefully, hopefully. That's what, you know, Papa always says, like, we want our ceiling to be our children's floor. Well, I want to like get so honed in on how the Lord really made me and what his intentions were with giving me this personality. So that way that is Maddox's floor.
Absolutely.
That's where she starts. And so I think that's just really been a good challenge for me to be like, okay, he did not make me wrong. I'm not too loud. I'm not too much.
Mm-hmm.
Can I reel it in a little bit sometimes? Yes. And that is totally fine. Do I need to step back and let the quieter thinkers take over and be okay with that? Yes.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with me.
Right.
It's just learning.
And raising girls with big personalities, I feel like helps. Like, because Ariel's the same way. Like, she is spicy.
Yes.
She says whatever comes in her mind.
Yes.
She wears the crazy things to school.
I'm not even fighting it anymore. Wear a princess dress.
Right? We went to have lunch with Nolan and some of his coworkers on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And Ariel got fancy. She wore the bridesmaid's dress that she wore at my brother's wedding at Christmas.
Yeah.
Like green and sparkly and beady and beautiful.
Yeah, why not?
With some leggings and some rain boots and a Yoda hoodie. Mm-hmm. Like a Grogu hoodie over her dress. And I was just like, hey, be prepared. Your daughter got fancy for you. And we show up and he was like, oh, okay, mm-hmm. fancy. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to tell her not to because I don't ever want her to feel less than because of who she is.
Yes.
And it's preaching to me by trying to encourage her in all the things. Because I was that girl. Never wore matching socks. My fingernails were all different colors. I had like Pippi Longstocking. Like I wanted to be Pippi Longstocking, you know, or Punky Brewster.
Oh,
yeah. She was my, like, that's who I was. That's who I, like, that was who I wanted to be for my whole life.
Oh, I love her. She has great bangs. She has great hair. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
And I think that's where I think growing up, I didn't have somebody to tell me, like, it is, like, this is how the Lord created you. And this is good.
Right.
Like, you are, like, the Lord made you, like, with this personality for good.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't have anybody to affirm that or a safe place to affirm that. And then I also didn't have anybody to help mold me in that. So it was just a wild personality that ran wild. And it took me 30 years to figure it out for myself because I didn't have any guidance in, okay, like, hey, listen, it's okay to have an opinion, but we don't always have to state it. Like that was never said to me. There was no guideline, no parameters. So if I can teach Maddox at a young age, like, hey, this is the gift we've been given of not being afraid of leadership, not being afraid to say like, hey, no, I see an injustice. I'm going to say something and I'm going to change it.
Right.
But we can do it in a softer way that'll draw more people in than just having to be the loudest. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, if I can teach her that, you know, in her single digit years going into teenage years, what took me 30, 40 years to learn.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that's changing a generation. Like thinking what she can do as a teenager or like as a young lady in half the time that it's taking me. I'm like, that literally is changing an entire generation of women.
100%.
Yeah.
Like teaching them the confidence, but also teaching them the restraint.
Yes.
Like
yes.
That tension of knowing like I am a child of God and he created me this way, but you're also a child of God. So I'm going to address it like this.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, that's really, really great. And I think, you know, we've been doing this study about preaching to ourselves. So for all of you who are listening, we've been working through at our mom's group, the Truth Filled study by Ruth Simons. Ruth Simons. and it's talking all about preaching to yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that even women like us who like, we're so good at saying, oh, the Lord wants me to say this. Or like you said, like, give me a microphone. I will stand on a stage and I will preach to people all day long. But as I'm reading all the things that she's talking about, I'm weeping. because I'm learning so much power in reminding myself of the things I tell my kids every day.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, we lead life group for him. But at what point do I remind myself of those things and not yes. doubt the things that the Lord has said to me?
Mm-hmm.
Because then that becomes like, I find, you know, this doubt that I'm too much or all of the things like, do people want to hear what I have to say? Is this going to be good enough or whatever? The false humility is mm-hmm. blasphemous.
Yes.
Because he has called us to be someone. He has called us. He rejoices in who he created us to be.
Mm-hmm.
And if we are saying, I'm not good enough for this, you know, it's Moses. He was like, God, are you sure you want me to go save the Israelites? Like, I don't think I can go back and talk to Pharaoh. You know, I don't talk yeah. very well. And God was like, listen, I told you.
Mm-hmm.
He literally says that he burned with anger because mm-hmm. Moses kept questioning. And like, that's
yeah.
every day of my life.
Every day, every day. And I think what happens is when I allow the voices of somebody else to be louder than the voices of God, like we're learning in our study, is when I start to question my personality, or I start to question my reactions, or I start to question myself. And I'm like, no, but that's not who God says I am. Somebody's husband right. recently made a comment of like, Katie always has an opinion. And it was like in a group of people. And I immediately just like wilted inside, because it wasn't said in like, they weren't trying to be mean, but it was just like, oh, Katie always has an opinion. And I was like, oh, immediately it was like, I shut down and mm-hmm. I was quiet the rest of the night, because I was like, something about me, like an insecurity, you just like said it out loud. Something that's always in my head, you just said out loud. So you must think that about me. So everyone else here must think that about me. And I believed that for so long. I mean, this was like months ago. And I've been replaying that moment in my head of like when a conversation would come up, I'm like, oh, is this one of those moments where I have an opinion about everything?
Right.
And I finally had to preach to myself and say like, no, because if Maddox ever came to me and said that, I'd be like, well, you know, that's a lie. Like, you know, that's not true.
Right.
If you came to me and said that, I'd be like, well, you know, that's not true. Like, why are you letting that person have so much weight?
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to turn and preach that to myself and be like, I do have an opinion. I generally am going to state my opinion.
Right.
That's not wrong. Like, that's not bad to do that. Learning how to do it with refinement and integrity and discernment is something that I'm learning. But it doesn't mean that it's a negative thing because I have an opinion. And that person isn't my Jesus. Like, they didn't create me with this big personality. Like, God created me with this big personality. And he'll tell me to hush. He'll teach me how to be quiet, not somebody else.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. He created us with a voice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not something that we're supposed to quiet.
Yeah.
So, you know, on this podcast journey and all these things, like, people are like, oh, you need to market and find your niche and find your avatar. They say, like, find the one person, give them a name and figure out how old they are and exactly mm-hmm. like who they are in life. And like, I can't do that because one, no, but two, like, I feel like the Lord has, like, he is saying things to more than just that one person. So why mm-hmm. would I try and narrow it down to just a 30-year-old woman who has adopted children and homeschools and, like, you know, all these tiny little mm-hmm. details? Like, it's so much broader than that. And I know it works for people, like marketing, whatever, it works. But I was struggling so long with figuring that out before mm-hmm. I was recording or before I was writing or before I was speaking or doing anything, because I was like, if I can't figure out who I'm talking to, then I shouldn't be talking.
I should just not do it. Yeah. If I'm not going to do it like correctly, yeah. I should just not do it. And that's what Satan wants you to believe. Like if I'm not doing it the way the world says I should do it, then I should probably just not do it. And Satan's like, oh yeah, shut your mouth, quiet down.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
I had this dream and the Lord was like, Mikayla, just stop. Because I was in this room, in this, like, it was a gymnasium, and it was like there was some sort of emergency happening, and we were all standing in the stadium, like in the stands, and there was people everywhere, and I was kind of on the front row, but there was people in the stands and at one end of the gym and like in another room. The person who was supposed to be leading wasn't, like, they were just kind of milling around on their phone, like talking to people and not actually like leading. And I just felt this urge to step away and come over to this other part of the gym and literally just worship the Lord. And so in my dream, I'm just standing there. I close my eyes and I put my hands up and I'm just worshiping. And when I opened my eyes, everybody was following me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like the Lord reminding me, like, you don't need followers. You need to follow me. And the way that you live your life and the way that you are, you step into your relationship with me, that's what's going to draw people.
Yes.
Because my heart isn't for people to follow me. And I think that's where I was struggling so much, mm-hmm. is, yes, if I'm going to make this a career and I'm actually going to be a public speaker and like step out and do the things, people need to like to listen to me.
Yes. Yes.
But that scares me, because that's not, like, I never want that to be what I do. You know, I always mm-hmm. want to make sure that before I speak, before I do anything, I always say, like, Holy Spirit, be my words.
Yes.
Because my heart is that everything I do draws people back to the Lord. And I think that has been my realization, is like, oh no, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. My phone rang in it. Anyways, like, that has been my realization recently, is for so long I've made it about I don't want people to think I'm arrogant. I don't want yes. people to think that I think so highly of myself that, mm-hmm. yes, please ask me to come speak at your conference because I'm yes. so good at this.
Yes.
No, I think that the Lord wants to speak through me, and I mm-hmm. want to be an edifying person. Like,
yes.
And realizing that being too big for the room isn't who he called. Like, that's not a thing.
That's not a thing.
As yeah. long as I, as long as I'm operating in the spirit, obviously yes. there are spaces where I can be too big for the room. Most of the time, if I start questioning myself too much,
mm-hmm.
I get bigger. You know yes. what I mean?
Yes. Yes.
And so, and if I'm not in that space,
yes, it's whether you're operating in yourself or you're operating in the spirit. And that is, if I'm operating in myself, if I'm having a rough day, if I have not been spending time with the Lord, if I'm not in a good space, my personality is going to reflect that. Then I am going to be too big for the room, because I'm going to be speaking out of me. I'm going to be acting out of me. Mm-hmm. And so it's not going to come off right. But speaking in the spirit, right. acting out of the spirit, it's just going to be an overflow of the Lord's heart. And he's using my big personality to portray that. And I think the Lord has created women like us, because somebody needs to be on that microphone. Somebody needs to be right. starting these groups. Everybody always jokes that, like, Katie will start a group. I'll start a group about anything. That's fine. I'll ask yeah. for anything, because I'm not afraid to be told no.
Right.
But learning to do it in a way that is not like stepping on other people to get that microphone, not shushing other people so I can start a group, is where I'm learning that discernment of, Lord, I want my loudness and I want my bluntness and I want my, you know, my brave speaking moments to just be overflow of your heart. And right. so that's when I can walk confidently in.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's, I don't know, there's so much to that, of like reminding ourselves that this isn't about ourselves.
Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I put some scriptures, like I was just trying to decide, like, what, I don't know, I was just asking the Lord to speak. And in Zephaniah 3:17, it says, "The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing." Like, the person who created, like, the creator of the world rejoices over you. Like, he takes great delight in you. That tells me that all of the times that I doubt myself and feel like I am not doing the right thing or whatever it may be, like, he will no longer rebuke me. Instead, he's singing over me.
Yes. Yes.
And reminding ourselves of that every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who I am is because it's who created, he created me to be.
Mm-hmm.
And if I start saying, I'm not good enough to do this, or I'm not the person for the job, am I calling him a liar?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like.
Right. Yes. Yes.
What is that?
And he created us. It's like what he's talking about. I always say, like, I want my son to be like a warrior. I want Jackson to be brave. And I want him. We always say, like, you're a warrior, Betty. And I'm like, but he also created women to be warriors. You know, we go to battle every day for our families and our children. And we have to go to battle for ourselves. And I just feel like he didn't make a mistake when he made us warrior women. And when we're operating through him and so full with him, he rejoices over us. He's like, yes, that is the woman. That is the warrior that I created. And he's rejoicing over us with singing in that. You know, he's delighted when he's like, oh, that is why I created you. That is how I created you. Like, I feel like sometimes I can like feel him when I know what I've just said or what I'm about to do is like anointed, where I've gotten like his approval, his promise. And I feel like I walk away and he's like, yes, yes. Like high five, like nailed it. That is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, Nolan and I talk about that a lot in different contexts of things that we're trying to do and things that we want for our life. And, you know, his hesitation to do things or my urge to just move forward.
Yes.
And how, you know, Chris Vallotton talks about, people say, oh, the devil's after me and the enemy's coming after me because I have a purpose or whatever. And he says, you're not that powerful.
Yeah.
Like, the Lord has a will for you. He has, he sets it up. And as long as you're doing everything you can to be operating in his will, like, you're not powerful enough to mess that up.
Mm-hmm.
If you are willing to do what it's going to take to bring him glory, you know, like, you can't step outside of that.
Exactly.
Because he loves you too much for that.
Yes. And that's what, he's not going to trick us. We're not going to be running hard after him and saying, like, okay, this is how you created me. I'm giving it up to you. Show me where to go, Lord. Show me how to use this loud mouth and this big personality. Like, show me how to use it for your glory. And you're not going to be running down the path. And then he's just going to like trick you. And he's like, oh, went the wrong way. You know, like, he's not going to put a blindfold on you and be leading you and then walk you into a pole. Like, that's not the God that we serve. You know, it's when I take my eyes off of him and I go down the wrong path. Or I can't see the path, or I don't know where I'm going because I'm trying to do it by myself, is when I step outside of that and I start using my loud mouth and my big personality for my own good. And that's when I start doubting. And that's when the voices of others get into my mind. And then he's like, hey, back over here. Back over here. Like, hello, turn off all those tabs. Bring him back over here, you know, like, let my music, let my voice be louder than all the other ones going on. I think that's just sometimes I think some of us just need a constant reminder of that. And I think that's okay. Like, it's okay if you need to be reminded daily, hourly, minutely, you know, like, hey, back over here. Hey, shiny brightness over here. You know, like, focus over here. You're like, oh, okay, I'm back, you know.
Right. And it's so important to think about it that way. Like, even when we do the wrong thing and we think we're going down the wrong path, like, as long as we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, it's like bumpers in a bowling lane, right?
Yes,
Where you start going, and if you don't let him be there, you're gonna, like, that's it. Like,
yeah,
you're done. But as long as we operate in that space where, yes, we're gonna mess up. We are human. We are people. There's nothing about us that was ever gonna be perfect until we get to the other side, right? Till we're unto glory. But like I said, even Moses, like, he killed someone. He killed an Egyptian man and hid him. He got found out and he ran. But you know what the Lord did? He chased him. He sent these girls with sheep, and Moses gave them water, and he became the father-in-law or the son-in-law of the man who was raising those girls. Like, he ended up marrying one of those girls because the Lord chased him. And he had favor even when he messed up. You know, and so we can't beat ourselves up to the point where we don't come back.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had one other thing, that one other scripture that I wanted to read. And it's 2 Corinthians 3:1-5. Are we beginning to praise ourselves again? Are we like others who need to bring you letters of recommendation or who ask you to write such letters on their behalf? Surely not. The only letter of recommendation we need is you yourselves. Your lives are a letter written in our hearts. Everyone can read it and recognize our good work among you. Clearly, you are a letter from Christ showing the result of our ministry among you. This letter is written not with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. It is carved not on tablets of stone, but on human hearts. We are confident of all this because of our great trust in God through Christ. It is not that we think we are qualified to do anything on our own. Our qualification comes from God. So that last verse where it says we're not qualified to do anything on our own because our qualification comes from God, that was the initial scripture. And then I went back and I, like, kept reading, you know, like a verse and then another verse and, like, going another all the verse. Way to the top. It's just, it's so good because
it's
that's
so good.
The fruit of our relationship becomes the ministry, like, becomes the people that, like, the children we're raising, the husband we're married to, the life groups that we're leading, or whatever that is, becomes the letter of recommendation. It becomes what speaks for who the Lord has become in our life. And nothing that we do is our own qualifications.
Yep.
You know?
So good.
Yeah. So even with our big personalities and our doubts of ourselves and the ways that we mess up, he has qualified us because he has called us.
Amen.
So good.
Yes. We just got to continue to preach that to ourselves.
Yes.
Like, it's so true. So, it's so true. Yes.
It's so powerful. And I want everybody who's listening or watching this video to know that that includes you. That's not just Katie and I because we have big personalities. It's you who feels like you don't have a big enough personality. It's the person who feels too quiet and doesn't know what to say, or the person who is still just learning who your voice is in the Lord. Like, he is, like, he loves you. And he is going to meet you where you are, and he is going to be passionate about chasing after you if you give him permission to be the bumpers in your bowling lane as you figure things out and as you get better at walking. We all need bumpers majority of our lives. There is nothing about our life that doesn't need bumpers as a parent or as a wife or as a friend, as a minister, in all the departments. So do not feel like you are disqualified because you don't have the big personality on the stage, or you're not reserved enough, or whatever it is. Like, you are qualified because he's qualified, and you are part of his body, and you are his child. Yeah. Do you have anything else to add?
No, I think this is great. Okay. I hope there's a woman out there who thinks she's too much or questions these same things. And she hears this and is like, that's what I need to hear. Onward.